Welcome, everyone, to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode number 47. I'm David Langiuli, and I'm here today with my colleagues.
Hi, I'm Michelle Malloy-Dillon.
And I'm Janice Cunning.
Welcome, welcome. So, Michelle, you wrote a blog post. I think this might have been your first one for the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it's the first one for Fundraising Leadership. It's the first one.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's worth celebrating.
There you go. See, right there. Something to celebrate.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. And the title of your blog post was Refocus for 2020. And in the article, you shared a process for reflection and then looking forward. So why don't you just say a little bit about that, and then we'll dive into some examples and give the audience something to try.
Yeah. So the end of the year is such a beautiful time to, it's like a gift, right? Because the year, the number of the year turns over, and we all begin to reflect on what the heck happened in 2019, right? And what we want to do in 2020. And so, you know, there's a system that I've developed over the course of the last several years that I've been using repeatedly every year that's been very helpful. As a way to acknowledge some of the successes and some of the challenges that happened in the past year, to really go through, I actually go through my calendar and remember what I did, like what was all that doing that I did and what felt most rewarding as I did it. And actually it was this exact process that I did at the end of last year that had me join Fundraising Leadership. So it is a way of looking back and really finding out what gave me energy, what felt like the right thing, and what do I need to say no to going forward? Which bridges into what are you wanting to create in 2020, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of doing in these lists, and sometimes the doing sort of shuts me down a little bit. Yes, I want to do this, and yes, I want to do that. And that's good. Like, goal setting is good because that's where we really get practical. But I also like to do a process that is using images as a collage to get me out of my head and more of what I want 2020 to feel like.
You know, yeah, and I loved, Michelle, you mentioned like sometimes you don't know what they mean, and yet it's like that trusting and letting it unfold and tell the story throughout the year.
Yeah, and that's why that process is so helpful for me, because it gives me permission to not know what it means right off the bat and to enjoy that process.
Great. So there are several questions in the blog post for reflection. And if I'm not mistaken, one of those questions is like, what do you want to celebrate, or what successes do you want to sort of honor and acknowledge? So what's one for you, Michelle?
Well, one of the biggest ones for me was joining the Fundraising Leadership team this year. It, you know, I feel proud of all of the different things that we've done together. We have experimented, we have succeeded in some things, and we've failed in others, right? Mm-hmm. And having a team to align with and to go on that adventure with has been very rewarding for me personally.
I've said this to you before, but I'll say it publicly. Like, I think you came just at the right moment, and it created like this new sense of energy for us as a team. You brought like a different perspective and a different, like a different energetic quality that we were really missing. And so for me, it's also like I feel so much more excited, you know, and passionate about what we're doing this year. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Janice. That's good to hear.
Yeah. And our journey together goes back maybe 4 years or thereabouts. I've been in, reflecting back, and I think I've been enrolling you ever since. So, you know, not being attached to when it happened, and here it happened this year. So that's exciting for me. And like, I know last year we were like, there was definitely some more energy not 2019, 2018, the conversations were getting more energetic. And then mm-hmm. you're like, okay, I'm gonna come in. It was like February or something of this year.
Oh, no. It was January.
Oh, it was January.
It was okay. January. Yes, because I did this process last December.
Got it, right.
And looked back on all of the things that I had done and work-wise and had experimented with. And you mm-hmm. and I had done a couple of projects together. And I was like, I want more of that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Now I remember. See, it's good to do the reflection.
Yeah. I think, and I just want to like kind of underline that point, right? Because I think that like there's often this like sense of like, okay, what are my goals for next year? You know? And Michelle, like, your story is a perfect example. Like if we don't take time to reflect back, then we don't really know what we want. And for you, it was like, I think the question you asked yourself was like, sort of, yeah, like what gave me energy? What excited me? You know, it wasn't about like achievement so much as like the feeling that you had.
Oh, no. There were questions like, you know, can I make an income? Can I like, there were big questions, yeah. But I did know looking back on the things that I had done the previous year that whatever that was, I want more of that because that felt rewarding. That felt engaging. And so I want more of that. And mm-hmm. I think that can be a really big hint when we're heading in the right direction. The logistics often work themselves out over time, and that gets into mm-hmm. the how, right? Looking mm-hmm. forward, like how? Let's set some, you know, goals for numbers or projects or whatever we want. How is part of it. But if we are not tuned into how we want it to be or how we want it to feel initially, our hows can just go off into left field. Mm-hmm. And we can end up in a place we don't want to be.
Well, it can stop you. So what I'm hearing is that when you're reflecting and you sort of see something in the rear view mirror that you enjoyed, the impulse is to say, well, how can I make that happen, you know, next year? Like how am I going to do that? And how am I going to make money at it? And I really enjoyed it. But do I have to make a U-turn up at the next intersection? Like how exactly? And I don't have a map and I'm running out of gas and it could be like that. And you're like, oh, forget it.
Right. Yeah. Now I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just a way of trusting that what you enjoyed in the rear view mirror is worth going back to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And the other thing is sort of also what didn't work, you know, like where were the failures? And that can inform like maybe it's doing something different, stopping something, you know, tweaking something. So, you know, what do we feel like was one of our failures this year as a team?
Yeah, and folks can get triggered. I know I can get triggered for a very long time, the word failure. It's a failure. You're a failure. You see, then it becomes I'm a failure. So I like to say, like, where did we have some breakdowns? Not the failure. Look, it's just a little bit of a charged word, right? For a lot of folks, including me, and I've gotten over it. But so I'm just curious, like, if there's any breakdowns you noticed becoming part of the team this year, Michelle, that you just noticed that we had some breakdowns.
Well, and it's funny, we keep changing the language, like from failure to breakdowns, and then I want to make it struggle. Because struggle is, like I look back at the year and say, where was the struggle? Mm-hmm. And I found the struggle for us seemed to be the greatest when we were trying to fill open enrollment courses. Mm-hmm. Where we had a great topic, and we really felt strongly about the material that we were going to offer. And then we opened it up to just the general public to see who wanted to come on in and mm-hmm. who wanted to take the course. And that felt like a struggle to fill those courses.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we did fail because we had a goal, you know, 15. And you know, I think we got halfway there. I mean, we did our courses. We had them.
Yes.
They had great impact. They were fun. We enjoyed them. But we failed because we didn't hit our target. You know, and many of our listeners are fundraisers, and so they know that it's important to have targets, and you got to reflect on whether you hit them or not, right? And what are the learnings, you know? So for us, like, I think that we've already started to talk, we're not in our 2020 planning phase yet, but we've always already started to talk about how we might tweak that for next year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're running ideas around. We have a meeting in a couple of weeks to talk about our 2020 plans, where we're going to go through some of the other things I speak about in the blog. but we're exploring working with intact teams. Like, that might be really cool. And there's something about that that sounds really fun. And we have some intact teams that we've worked with in 2019, and that has felt successful. It has felt, I hesitate about the word easy because I'm not somebody who likes to go the easy route, but it has felt easier. It's like less weighty. It's less of that struggle that it was to fill the open enrollment courses.
Well, I just want to address, I know it's really hard for us to look at, for me, I'll speak in unarguably about my own story of 35 years or more, which is like, if it wasn't hard work, then it wasn't worthwhile. Like, there's some story around that. Yeah. And I'm giving up that story. Like, there's such a meme in the culture around hard work. And of course, there's effort is required. And you could swim upstream, or you can swim downstream, or you could just kind of merrily go along with the flow of the river. I'm kind of more in that camp these days, as long as I get to where, you know, in the general vicinity of where I want to go.
Yeah, I often think about, like, the word that I think about is ease, you know, which is like more flow and organic. Like,
I love that word.
It can be challenging, which is fun, you know, but like, it's like sort of, you know, David, you and I have talked about this a lot. It's like, if you're constantly bumping up, like something's not working, it's like, okay, there's a message here.
Right.
Like, now there's something we need to learn. And it's like, if something's really meant to be, then I do find like there is this ease or flow, you know, that sort of happens.
Yeah, I think for us, and maybe for a lot of folks in the audience, it's like finding that balance between, you know, effort, you know, applying yourself, applying your trade, whatever it is, and then noticing when the things are just, you know, hard and the universe is pushing back. I just am looking for that more and more. And okay, this is not, you know, coming easily. So maybe it's just not right now.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, it's also, I feel like this year, for the three of us, like so much of the groundwork we've laid, you know, is coming to fruition. And so it makes me, you know, it's the same, like for the fundraisers who are listening, it's like, you know, you have to lay the groundwork, you have to build the relationships, you have to cultivate. And yet it's like, you also need to look for the place where it's like, where are you getting yeses, and go with that energy, you know, rather than being your head against the no door and trying to change it, you know?
Right.
Well, a lot of energy.
Yeah. I'm mindful that in major gift work, you know, we talk about the donor cycle, the donor engagement cycle. It's like donor engagement cycle. Anyway, you know, engaging with donors, and, you know, it's about conversations, and it sometimes it just takes a bunch of conversations over time for sometimes over a considerable amount of time for major gifts to materialize. And so there is, again, a balance of keeping those conversations alive while you're also harvesting gifts that maybe are just coming a little bit sooner.
Sure.
Yeah. So what do we want to give the folks to try as we head into the new year, Michelle?
Well, I would like to challenge you to do this with your team. If you have a team, to look back on your previous year and to ask yourself some questions, you know, what was most successful, what felt the best, and also to look forward into 2020 and really make a conscious decision about what you as a team want to say yes to and what you're going to say no to. What will you try coming up that you've never tried before? What are the risks that you're willing to take? And what kind of support do you need to take those risks? Sometimes we need to identify that support ahead of time as well. Mm-hmm. Really pay attention to what you want the year to feel like as you go to work and work as a team each and every day.
I love what you're suggesting, Michelle, because for many nonprofits, December, January is the midpoint of the year, on the fiscal year. And so it is a great time to pause and look back on the entire calendar year. Even if you look back for the last 6 months of the first half of the fiscal year, you could say, what do I want to stop doing? And what do I, you know, what do I want to keep doing going into June 30th, which is very typical in the US for the end of the fiscal year. So it's a great time, even if you're not going to do the full calendar. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll link to the post in the show notes so everyone can get Michelle's great questions. And I think, Michelle, you're a living testament to the power of reflecting, because here we are together.
Yeah.
12 months later. Look, if you like the podcast, you can find us on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play Music. There will be links in the show notes so that you can link to that and get it on your phone. So go ahead and subscribe. And now go put this into practice. Curiosity.